Science Balance is Mrs. Corbett here, and I'm going to teach my husband some GCSE science. Science GCSE, Mrs. Corbett, science. Hi, science fans. Hi.
Husband.
We're doing reversible reactions.
How much caffeine have you had?
So much.
All right.
How are you gonna edit that intro?
I'm not. Okay. I don't edit this podcast at all. I don't know if you've noticed.
No, I know, but you do like the timing thing where I stop making noise and then you go, hi.
My love, you never stop making noise. It's true. Not since I met you.
So today we're doing reversible reactions. Reactions reversible.
Okay.
So some chemical reactions are reversible.
Obviously.
So that means that products are making reactants, reactants are making products, products are making reactants, reactants are making products, products are making reactants, reactants are making products. A plus B reacts together to form C plus D, C plus D reacts to form A plus B.
Yep.
Getting that? Mm-hmm. How do we know it's a reversible reaction? Just by reading the equation?
Because it's the same on one side as it is the other.
No. I'm going to
show
you...
There's the same amount on each side.
I'm going to show you a picture of a reaction. A plus B... C plus D.
Right.
See that?
Yeah.
What's different? What's different about that reaction and other reactions?
Is it the equals sign?
Yeah, it's not an equals sign and it's not an arrow. What is it?
It's like I call that squiggly goop.
A squiggly goop. It's half, so the top half is the arrow going forward and the bottom half is half an arrow going backward, right?
Yeah.
It looks a little bit like the National Rail sign, I think.
Yeah, it does a bit, yeah. You're right.
That tells us we've got a reversible reaction on our hands.
Okay.
So the example they've got here is ammonium chloride. If you add heat, it breaks, decomposes to make ammonia plus hydrogen chloride. But then if you cool it down, it makes ammonium chloride again.
Okay, yeah.
So students will do this reaction in school. We will give them a test tube of blue copper sulfate and we'll tell them to heat it up and it will turn to white powder. And what they've done there is they've driven off the water from the copper sulfate. So they've got hydrated copper sulfate. They heat it up, evaporate the water out of it, and then they have anhydrous copper sulfate. And then what we do is we give them a tiny bit of water and go, go on then, pop that in. And it will start turning blue and it will start giving out heat. So you put heat in to separate the water and the copper sulfate and you get copper sulfate plus water that's evaporated. And then if you add water, it releases heat. It becomes exothermic. So that's the second part of this lesson, really. In a reversible reaction, if the forward reaction is endothermic, so you have to put heat in for it to work, the reverse reaction is exothermic. So therefore, if you add like the lost reactant to it or whatever, it will start giving out heat.
Okay. Sounds
so
handy.
Yeah. So if it's exothermic in one direction, it's endothermic in the other direction.
Is that how you make ice packs?
Ooh, the ones that you pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a prime example of mixing two reactants together to make an endothermic reaction. The trouble with those ones is those ice packs, they're not reversible.
Really? Are they one-time use?
Yeah, those ice packs are. Oh. But you can get some heated ones that you can separate the reactants out again.
Yeah.
I don't know which ones they are, but there are reusable ones where you press a button and then you like cool it down and then you can do it again and it'll work.
Yeah.
And I think that separates them based on their density or something. I'm not really sure how those work, but that is exactly it. So a reversible reaction is where products and reactants can form. They're represented by that funny arrow thing, like half a forward arrow, half a backward arrow. If the forward reaction is endothermic, the reverse reaction is exothermic. Vice versa, if the forward reaction gives out heat, the reverse reaction takes in heat, which is quite funny because if the forward reaction gives out heat, it's providing heat for it to go back the other way.
You sure? Yeah.
So let's talk about the word equilibrium.
Okay.
What equilibrium is. So when a reversible reaction occurs in apparatus that prevents the escape of products or reactants, equilibrium is reached when the forward reaction rate is equal to the reverse reaction rate.
Gotcha.
So you've got the same number, you've got the same amount of products or reactants. Now, mistakes people make in the exam when they're asked to define equilibrium is they'll say same amount of products and reactants are being formed. But what they need to say is equilibrium is reached when the rate of the forward reaction is equal to the rate of the reverse reaction.
Sure, yeah.
Does that make sense? Now, that is it if you're doing foundation tier for this topic. If you are doing higher tier, you need to keep listening. Foundation tier, have a little break, have a biscuit. Go and do some practice questions.
See you later.
Higher tier students, listen up. You have to talk about what happens if you change the conditions in a closed environment. Okay, so if it's in that kind of, if it's in that equipment that won't allow any products or reactants to escape. The effect of changing conditions in that environment, what effect that will have on the equilibrium. Okay, so there was this dude called Chatelier. And he made a principle, and it was called Le Chatelier's principle.
Okay.
Mr. Chantilly Cream's principle.
Right.
Okay. And what he said is, any change that is made in a reaction, the equilibrium will shift to minimize the change. Okay. Which seems like it doesn't make much sense. So, if a system is at equilibrium and a change is made to the conditions, the system responds to counteract the change. It always wants to be at equilibrium. Okay, this is Chantillier's principle. So students should be able to make quantitative predictions about the effect of change when given appropriate information. So let's talk about if I change the concentration. So let's say I've got A plus B makes C plus D, and then reverse is also true. If I increase the concentration of A, I've got more A to react with B. So what's going to happen?
More C
plus D, whatever they are. We don't know what they are. So the correct words to write down in your exam is the equilibrium will shift to the right.
Okay, yeah.
Which means that it will then shift back to the left because you've then got more on the right than you have on the left. So it will keep shifting left and right until it gets okay. So we've got more of A. I increase the concentration of A, the equilibrium will shift to the right. Okay. I decrease the concentration of A. What will happen?
The equilibrium will shift to the left.
Perfect. Lovely. Okay, so let's talk about temperature. The forward reaction is endothermic. The reverse reaction is exothermic. I increase the temperature. So I increase the temperature, and the forward reaction is endothermic, which means it takes in heat from the surroundings. So if I increase the temperature, I will increase the rate of reaction. The equilibrium will shift to the right. It will favor the direction of the endothermic. If I decrease the temperature, the equilibrium will shift to the left because it will favor the exothermic reaction. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Lovely. Again, when you're answering these questions, just say the equilibrium will shift to the, and if in your brain you can't work it out, just write that down. The equilibrium will shift to, and then pick left or right. You've then got a 50% chance of getting it right. Okay. And then followed by, because it favors the direction of endo or exothermic for temperature. And then the last one is about pressure.
Ding, 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 ding.
The effect of pressure on equilibrium. Now, this pressure is the same as concentration, but when we're talking about gases.
Mm.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So when we increase the pressure in a closed system, in a reversible reaction, the equilibrium will shift to the side of the reaction that has fewest moles of gas. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. I've got a pen here. I'm going to give you my favorite gaseous reaction. You're going to love it.
Is it your favorite gaseous reaction though? Because you say that kind of stuff all the time. I imagine you've got several favorite gaseous reactions.
This is legit my favorite.
This is legit your favorite. Have you decided what your favorite element is? Iodine, isn't
it? Iodine, spot on iodine.
Do you remember what my favorite element is?
Is it the one of surprise?
You finished?
Yeah, is it the one of surprise?
No.
What's your favorite element?
You don't remember? You never listen to me. No, I'm not telling you.
All right. This one.
Lift it up. Okay. Sodium.
Nope.
No, sorry. N2. So nitrogen plus 3H2, which is hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Squiggly goop. 2NH3, which I assume is nitrogen hydroxide. No, oxide has to have oxygen. Nitrogen. Hydro. What is 2NH3?
I'm glad you asked. Those doing triple, you will be screaming at this. This is the Haber process. So 2NH3, ammonia. It's ammonia. Good.
I prefer saying Haber process.
Sure. So just all of these are gases, nitrogen, hydrogen, and ammonia. They're all gases. So on the left, I've got 1 mole of nitrogen, 3 moles of hydrogen, and on the right I've got 2 moles of ammonia. Which side has the most number of moles of gas on it?
The left.
The left side. Okay, so the left side has a total of 4 moles because it's got 1 mole of nitrogen and 3 moles of hydrogen. And on the right, you've got 2 moles. So if I increase the pressure, it's going to go in the direction of the fewest moles. So yeah, the equilibrium will shift to the...
To the right.
To the right.
Because that's where the most space is.
That's where the most space is. So when they do the Haber process, they have to have the pressure as high as possible without it being unsafe. Because obviously, gases, high pressure, explodey. Yeah. Okay.
Fritz Haber, famous for his health and safety protocols.
Yeah, look him up or don't. And then we've got, if we decrease the pressure, it will shift to the left and it will make more products than it will reactants. Okay, so just to put that, summarise the whole thing. Mm. Foundation people, if you stuck on for this long, good job.
How's your biscuit?
How's your biscuit? So, reversible reactions are reactions that can go in either direction. Okay, usually if the forward is endo, the reverse will be exo or vice versa. They have that fun symbol, which looks like the National Rail symbol.
Squiggly goop.
Equilibrium is where the rate of the forward reaction is equal to the rate of reverse reaction. And that has to be in equipment that reduces the loss or stops the loss of products or reactants. Usually if it's a gas, they can escape quite easily. And then if you are doing higher, you need to know about Chatelier's principle. If you change the conditions in a reversible reaction in closed conditions, the equilibrium will shift to reduce the change. So if you increase the concentration, it will shift to, say you increase the concentration of the reactants, it will shift the equilibrium to favor the products. If you increase the temperature, the equilibrium will shift to favor the endothermic reaction side, whichever way that is. If you increase the pressure, the equilibrium will shift to the fewest moles of gas.
Yeah, think about it very literally, I think. If you can kind of visualize it literally, it's a lot easier to kind of pass in your brain.
And if your brain, this is normally at the end of the higher tier paper, because it is quite a lot to get your brain around. If you're not sure, use the words. Even if you get it wrong, use the words, because you're 50%. If you increase this, the equilibrium will shift to the, and then do that, because you're 50% chance.
Cool.
Cool.
All right, apologies if you can hear children laughing. In the background.
We don't tend to like that in our house.
See you later.
Have a great day. Bye.